Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Passage of the weight in flight 00H150. That's flight 00H150. Please approach the gates. Your flight is now ready for boarding.
You're listening now to the Out of Home Podcast.
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast. Are you locked into the Out of Home Podcast?
You're listening to the Out of Home Podcast featuring Kieran, Kwame, Yas, and Stephen.
You London boys are crazy.
So you don't have one.
So we've been listening. We've been vibing.
Yeah.
Hi everybody.
Hey everybody.
Lovely listeners.
Hey.
Welcome to your weekly dose of Out of Home.
Nice.
Kieran is going to introduce the podcast properly because only he can introduce it.
I feel like you've just done it.
We were just having a small chat, but before we started recording, Kwame wanted to mock.
Over here in Amsterdam, by the way. Shout out to you, Kieran in London.
Shout out.
Wanted to mock the sound system that was on display.
Yeah. Because
you hadn't actually heard it up until that point.
No, it's just quite large and obtuse, yeah.
Is it the old one that you had?
It's a Marshall. It's a new Marshall.
Okay.
To Black Friday.
Okay.
Coming through with a 43% discount.
Nice.
On the thing. And what did you call it?
I said, oh, have you got a DAB radio?
I said DAB radio. Bro, I might as well have Freeview as well, fam.
Bro, if it works, isn't it, fam?
Hey, don't knock Freeview, man. Don't knock Freeview. That changed Freeview a lot of people's lives.
Listen, BBC Free on Freeview got me through everything, fam. Everything.
DAB. What's this?
Digital audio broadcasting.
Yeah. Of course he knows, isn't it?
Bloodhound.
The Boston Bloodhound scores again, 6-0.
These guys have they've called me a bloodhound because I know things. That doesn't make sense.
Well, Kwame, provide your rationale for the reason why.
Because there was rumors that my mic may or may have not been off, and Kieran, all the way from London, could hear that it wasn't working. But then he said a bloodhound isn't a bloodhound because of its ears. It's a bloodhound because it can smell. And then I was like, but they have big ears. And then we started speaking about moles. And yeah, like Kieran just like knows a lot of stuff. So I actually called him a personable rain man, which hopefully makes sense to anyone. I like that a lot, actually.
Oh, God.
But yeah.
Rain man.
Kieran, I have a question for you, big man.
What question would you like to ask me, man?
Same question I ask every week, my friend. What are we listening to?
If you tuned in today, you're listening to the sounds of Kieran, Yaf and Kwame. Shout out to Stephen, who isn't with us today. But this is the Out of Home Podcast, a show brought to you by four Londoners capturing and sharing stories of inspiring people while sharing our own. We're across two buildings today. I'm repping at +44 in London. Kwame and Yaf are over there, +31 Amsterdam. And yeah, I'm back. I'm back on the sofa. I'm back on the mics. I'm back on the airways.
Oh, yeah.
Let's quickly
address
the elephant in the room that has been lying in.
Shout out to Dumbo. So, yes, as you know, we are four award-winning podcasters, but four, not award-winning yet, but legendary pattern joke men, right? Legendary, right?
Explain the term.
So, if you're patterned, it means that in some form or manner, you're quite. Let me say this: you are quite like put together, what's the word I'm looking for? Resourceful in a field. So I could be like, oh yeah, like where are we going? No, don't worry about it. My man. He's got us patterned. It could be with seating or flights or combination, whatever. So when you say pattern, it means that you're
put shit together.
Yeah, you put shit together. But then we have an oxymoron because we are joke men, and even though we are successful podcasters, there's some things that we still haven't grasped.
Like how to set like up. Communication.
Communication. And then also, yeah, so last week, the three of us were in Amsterdam. And then Yaf was saying, you know, Yeah, Key, because originally I'm going to open it up, really open it up. Go. Originally, we were supposed to have a guest. And as you know, listener, we're over Zoom and in person, it's very different.
Yeah.
So we thought, if we have a guest, which makes it a fourth speaker, then Kieran can, here like, then yeah, here in Amsterdam and Kieran in London over Zoom, then it'll make sense. Not obviously of preference, but just for the vibe, for Kieran to sit this one out. And he was like, yeah, yeah, I'm happy to do so. Obviously, I love the pod, but if you man got a guest, then I'll do my thing and I'll hold it down over here and I'll wait for the audio to come back. But then the guest, we weren't able to align with the guest, but maybe in the future, who knows, who knows. And so it ended up being the three of us. So myself, Stephen, Yaffin, and Kieran. Stephen, me, and Yaffin in Amsterdam.
Yes.
Anyway, Stephen, Yaffin, myself in Amsterdam. So then, in our heads, and shout out to Yaf because he's been like a running point on a lot of communications recently about like episodes and whatnot. In our heads, because it took me and Yaf quite a while to reconfigure the audio, which we've done for a long time, but
we intentionally didn't want to bother Kieran.
Yes, which we thought on his night off, on his night off. So, and after like Yaf was adamant with me. I was like, no, I'm embarrassed. No, bro, we'll get it right. Eventually, we'll get it right. It was my pride taking over me, right?
And when we say set up, we're talking about
the mic and the mixers, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
in somewhat of a substantial way.
So, and then I think Stephen like makes a reference to, haha, like, yeah, where, what do you call it? Like, finally recording. And so Kieran's like, oh, yeah, you know, you man, like, tell me when you're ready. And we're like, ready? Like, big man, like.
No. He said, let me know when you're setting up.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we interpret that as like, Kieran knows we're a joke, man. He's not going to record today, but
yes,
give us a hand.
Yeah,
setting up
if he has to, innit? Yeah. No, he was
ready.
He was ready at home.
Ready to record.
He had sacrificed an evening out with loved ones and friends and work colleagues in London, where when it wasn't minus 1 degrees, he was ready to record. He put his plans aside for a night with the mandem, and the mandem were. And then it just so has it that on the recording, that the Kieran was due to edit, obviously after being like shafted, I said, Kieran's having a lying on this. And a lying, basically just like, be like, you know what? I'm sacking it off. I'm tired. I'm going to have a lying. Like, oh, where's he? Have to come to work today? No, he's having a lying. He's taking it easy, isn't he? He's taking it easy.
Do you know what's funny about that? I know we're dwelling on this, but we'll move on shortly. As soon as you said it, I said, Kieran's not going to lie. But then you throw the context on top that he was actually ready to record.
Yes, yes. But don't forget, last point. Kieran is our audio master. So he's now been told that this episode, he's been like, kicked to the curb.
Episode 149.
Get your ass out of here, boy. And then then if it isn't worse, I'm like, hi, sir, audio's finished. Would you mind editing it, please? The one that you weren't invited to.
Oh, my God.
So then after, like, imagine this. So he's like, oh, whatever. So that he's like, listen to the first 2 minutes. Then he hears me pipe up. Oh, Kira's having a lying, isn't he?
Bruv. No. Do you know what's so funny? Yeah, I sat here. I was like, all right, cool. Got home because I was out. I was at my office. I said, let me get back home on time. Got home, made myself a quick dinner, and then set up in it.
Because, well, I know you must have like quickly chopped up them onions quick, made sure that the food was patterned quickly.
And
didn't take your time.
And this man could take time when he cooks. So
I enjoy cooking. I enjoy cooking. Yeah. But it was a quick slapdash meal, and then I sat down and put my setup together. I was just sitting there. I was like, all right, cool. I sent a text message. And then when you lot said, yo, we've been recording for 17 minutes, I was like, ah.
That's a precise number as well.
I was like, oh,
it's
okay.
Yeah.
Man was just sitting there like, okay, what do I do then?
Back on Wally.
And then it was so funny because I was like, literally, as soon as I thought, I was like, I'm going to have to sit here, wait for these men to finish the recording, and then get the audio because it's Wednesday.
Oh yeah, you had no day to rest. Wednesday night.
Wednesday.
I would have been so.
And then I was like, all right, cool. I wasn't part of the recording, so let me at least just like listen through to it properly and edit whilst I'm doing it. And I get to like 3 minutes in, and Kwame's telling the world that I'm having a lion. I was like, this man's got to know.
No, but it was...
It's so funny.
It was, yeah.
It was a miscommunication. Because the funny thing is, that day, I hollered Stephen, and I spoke to him. He was like, oh, you're recording today? I was like, yeah, I'm going to record, innit? I just have to get home, and I'll set up and stuff. So I'm just, like, literally waiting for you lot to send me the link. And then, obviously, from the time I've spoken to Stephen and the time that you guys have got to his house, he's forgotten we've had a conversation all together. Because when he messaged me, in fact, he called me after. He's like, bro, I'm so sorry. I literally forgot we even had a conversation. I was like, big man.
Yeah, that's him.
No, but I'm back, man. Steven. I'm back.
Shout out to Stephen. He's not having a lion.
He's not well. And we wish him the best in his recovery. But let's kick this off how we usually kick this off, man. With a lovely question. I like what you guys did last week, actually, providing context to what we talk about. Stephen giving us like the references to what, you know, some of our listeners might not have been on the journey to find out about, and giving them context behind everything. So yeah, start with what made you smile, a leveler, a question that we asked to figure out what everyone's been up to in the last week. It's a beautiful moment, and I'm gonna ask Yaf, what's made you smile this week, bro?
Oh man, you know, sometimes I just have a think about life, and you know, just think about how blessed I am. I think one of the things that has made me smile the most, what does it say, Monday, is on Friday, I was at my beloved girlfriend's house. I'm still here. And we woke up on Friday, and I had quite a busy day with work, but I said, like, do you need help with anything? Because this was the evening where she was planning to host and cook for friends for the first time ever in her place. And,
Kwame's looking at you like, bruh, the first time. I'm sure I've had food whilst I'm here. Am I not classified as a friend?
I've been hosted and had food.
Am I not a friend?
But in her eyes, it wasn't like a dinner. Like, you know, Abby's like serious, isn't it? So this is like, no, this is like a little snack. I put this together rather than I'm making a meal.
Exactly.
Okay.
Precisely.
Thank you, Karen, for catching that in my face.
Yeah.
So... Fast forward, we both go about our day, we both work. I've helped her with a few things to, like, make the day, the evening a success, because I know that my girlfriend is really putting in work to impress. And when I say impress, not anyone else but herself.
I love that.
I don't know if anyone here has maybe, like, women in their family or people listening, if your partners are the same, but my girlfriend's just one of those people who just enjoys outdoing herself when it comes to hosting and doing things.
Amazing.
Like this. So she cooked up a bad boy meal. Sade came through.
What country did that originate from?
Oh, there was so
the,
many
the bad boy meal.
There was yellow rice.
Nice.
There was some steamed veggies, which is like inspired by Senegalese cuisine.
Oh yeah, she's really into that, isn't she?
Loves it. Yeah, loves to get some chicken, some fish for me. I'm a pescatarian, lovely listeners, in case you never knew. I eat fish. Been on the journey for 9 years now.
Really?
Absolutely amazing. Yes.
Have you ever? Sorry, I know people do this a lot.
Do you miss me? No.
Okay, Trevor. Have you ever been lured into a false sense of fishhood, where you have like bitten? It's not a word, but we're there. Where like you've been bitten something. Someone's like, "Oh, sorry, that's actually not got fish in it, and it's like, had a bag of meat in it." Have you been lied to, or had the wool? The wall? The rug?
Yeah, no.
Rug?
Wool pulled over your eyes, rug pulled from your feet.
There we go. Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah. Or the rug pulled from underneath.
Yeah.
But KFC have got like a vegan range now, and which
it's,
is...
It's quite close.
It's
heard.
Extremely close.
Really?
Yeah. So much so that I've had something and I've asked like, yo, are you sure this is...
Yeah, yeah.
I've had that before where the vegan... option is so good, you have to question whether this is real.
Sometimes, especially in the Caribbean community, which I've seen, sometimes fish can be cooked in such a way, you're like, nah, big man, this is chicken.
Tuna steak.
Yeah, this is chicken.
So succulent.
Yeah.
And the texture is so...
Yeah.
Sorry. No problem. So that dinner also sat, and I know everyone's bored of us talking about the World Cup. We're not going to talk about the World Cup today, apart from now. that sat on the same day as the Netherlands versus Argentina, which was one hell of a game.
On Friday night, right?
Oh,
one hell of a game.
My goodness, it had everything. It had drama. It had 17 yellow cards.
A World Cup record in a knockout tie.
There were goals. There was one of the greatest players of all time, Lionel Messi, just doing his thing. Incredible game. Unfortunately, the result didn't go the way of the Netherlands. You know, happens in football. But what I will say is watching football with your partner and one of her best friends and them commentating on how this game is turning out.
Who don't watch football.
Who don't watch football.
Yeah. Apart from watching the football right now. It's, I love that.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
Hey, talk us through some of it.
Bro, she was saying that there needs to be an inquest from the Dutch government about the referee's decision making.
I don't think it was that bad.
I was like, I don't think it works that
yeah.
But fine. She was giving tactical advice.
Oh, that's the worst. Not football, but I do that a lot. I'm a huge, what do you call it, like, the Rafael Nadal fan. And when he fucks up, I'm like, Rafa, down the line, obviously. Exactly. What? Come on, Rafa, I would do that. Yeah.
You man chatting to these players like you coached for 50 years in that. Bare experience. Oh,
so just like having them there and obviously David was there as well, and then we linked up on the weekend to watch England play. So, you know what? Results haven't necessarily gone everyone's way, but it's just been like football connecting, bringing people together, fun moments. Like, I'm never going to forget that moment when the Netherlands equalised in the last kick of the game against Argentina, what I was doing, because I was surrounded by people I love. So
that's nice.
Sick moment. Christmas is near. Feel like I'm getting closer to my break off from work. Happy fucking days. Mr. Kwame.
What made me smile? I had one this week. Like, I was somewhere, and I was like, yeah, I have something for the podcast, which I'm going to relay on the time we record.
Banked it.
But obviously, I left it. Like, I didn't deposit. So, maybe Kieran could go and I could think of something, but at the moment, I can't think of that something.
I thought you was lining it up.
Yeah, bro, I lined it, but it's nowhere to be found right now.
I heard that.
Bro, you were literally teeing up your... What made you smile? I thought you was about to go in.
No, I'm telling you, I ain't got it. Hopefully, I'll get 2 minutes.
That's go funny. That's funny. well, seeing as I wasn't present last week, I can share with you a couple of things that made me smile from the previous week. The first one was being an SA on a film production. An SA stands for supporting actor. Basically, a stand-in or extra. But it was for my friend Abby. She shot her first short film called Bad Indian, which is a film about her villain origin story set in Croydon at Tiger, which is awesome.
Where all villain origin stories should start.
Tiger.
I've been there a few times.
Tiger, if you don't know, is a well-renowned club night or club bar from, I guess, the early 2000s. Is it still around?
You can say early 90s.
Yeah. I don't know if it's still around, but there was one in Croydon which was like prolific.
During a certain
time frame, and yeah, I was there as like one of the guys in the club who tries to move, but looks quite mysterious to the lead actress. But it was just funny. It was just bare funny. Had to do some like make believe dancing. It's really interesting being on set. She had to like make the room feel like it was a packed club, and there was about 10 extras. But when you look at it on screen, you're like, wow, this is crazy. So that was fun. That made me smile. What else? I had a couple of things, you know. Yeah. I linked up with a friend of mine. Well, a friend of a friend. His name's Dami Oladapo, who is the creator of House Captain, which is a platform which he's now put together, he's created his first zine. Yeah, zine. And also his first film. And we were just chatting. We decided to link up because we are in similar fields, kind of doing the same sort of things. Entrepreneurs that want to like do better for themselves outside of work as well. And it was just a really interesting conversation to have. You know when you're like, you link with someone and you're like, oh, like we're on a similar sort of wavelength. And he said something really interesting to me. He was saying how as humans we should have an athlete's mindset. And what he meant,
oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And what he was trying to say was basically, he used me as an example, saying how, look, when I played football and stuff, like you, every day you're working towards competition, you're working towards like performance or to a match. But like as a human being, when you're not doing those things, every day you should just look at it as a competition with yourself, which is like a really cool thing to just like keep in your mind. And allow yourself to like hit targets or goals or aspirations that you have. So that was really cool. Sitting down and watching England, I mean, it wasn't, well, as you said, the result that we wanted, but I was really happy for like the players and how far they've got and how well they've done and how like they've carried themselves throughout the World Cup. And yeah, man, that's it, man. Just like linking up with people, having good conversations, and yeah, feeling good. Christmas is around the corner, even though it doesn't feel like Christmas at all. But Kwame, have you thought of what made you smile?
No. It's not coming. But what I think made me smile was just like linking up with people, like connections, like Christmas and the New Year. I mean, yeah, Christmas holiday. So at work, we had our Christmas celebration, whatever, and the team from Paris came over.
Christmas do,
yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I never understood the do. What's the do?
Christmas do.
Yeah, I don't know, just a do, So that was nice. Went to the Canary Club in Amsterdam, at the back of a place called Food Holland. Not great, but good vibes.
Okay.
The World Cup on a Saturday, that was a... No. They've been given a brief, it was fine. And then Saturday, watching the World Cup, that was nice as well. With all the mandem inside. And just like I was saying to Yaf before, like, just another reminder that I think the World Cup, I've heard a lot of, like, great stories. It just made me hark back to some of the random times and days we had in Cameroon in January, innit? I understand. So
yeah,
just
yeah.
Also being blessed and grateful for that experience, and then I was looking at some other stuff and I saw like Barcelona and I was like, yeah, but we actually lived and like the this week me and Mir have been making it a thing to actually like speak a lot about like Jean Epp in a glowing sense and how she was. That's our dearly beloved dog that passed away earlier this year. And I also think we started looking at other breeds, and oh yeah, because we're looking to have a dog sometime next year. So
really,
yeah. Nice.
What, a newbie.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. No, but like at least 1 year old. So, okay. So the potty trainer start.
Are you trying to get a rescue?
Yeah, that would be ideal. Actually,
nice.
Yep. So just linking up with people and looking forward to the future and having some more energy around the house. That's a very hello. Taja Khaleda. Ooh, the Telfe.
My girlfriend has walked into the building rocking her Telfeezy.
Yes.
Say hi, Abby.
Hi. Hey, Abby.
She says hi back.
Yes, she does. And and I guess we're going to, ain't nothing to it but to do it. Because that's your favorite word now, isn't it? Do.
That was fun.
Do you want to tip off?
Sure thing. So a lot's been happening in the last 7 days. We spoke about Christmas is near. We're in the month of December. For those of you that have Instagram, Twitter, any relevant social media platform, TikTok, you would have seen...
Snapchat, don't forget Snapchat.
All that good stuff. You would have seen that in December, particularly around Christmas time, there's a certain destination that people like to go to.
Where's that?
Excellent approach play, Harry Kane. I like this.
Where's that?
I like this a lot.
Thank you very much. Kwame, where is this foreign land that I refer to?
It's like a piece of magic, almost like a gold coast, if you will, some would say.
Ooh.
And it's the pearl of West Africa, some would say.
Ooh.
And the capital is Accra. And a lot of people have, I think they call it a Detty December. And a lot of people on the weekend were hoping to be whizzed by some sort of kid. And that did not happen.
Oh, wow, that was
promises crazy. Were made and they were broken.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Wow, Kieran. Wow.
Nice.
Wow. All right, enough of the inside. So, we came across this story, I think, just last night. I have to give credit to my girlfriend who's just walked in the building, who sent it to me and alerted me to this thing happening. But it basically turns out that there was a festival that was due to take part yesterday.
Saturday night.
On Saturday night, with big A-listers being booked. But then it came to the forefront of social media that these people did not come and perform. I think the frustration amongst all of this was, number one, that they didn't come perform, but number two, that typically in festivals in Africa, headline acts usually come super, super late to the time that they were scheduled to come on, or like what happened this weekend, they don't show up at all. So there was a lot of conversations going on around that, and I wanted to quickly just gather thoughts from you guys. Maybe you've experienced it. I mean, you know, artists are never really going to come out on time. You know, that's just wishful thinking. Do you know what I mean? But coming out 5 hours later than your scheduled time or not showing up at all can rub fans up the wrong way. And when we look at the world that we live in now, especially within music, entertainment, it's a very fan-based industry. Mm. So you don't want to be pissing fans off. There was also a narrative around the fact that these artists are doing this to predominantly Africans, people who kind of arguably love and support them the most.
Yeah, the reason why they were able to grow outside of the continent, right?
Yeah. So there was a lot of discussion, a lot of conversation around this debacle. I know you're looking at some stuff here, Kwame, so I don't know if you want to provide any more context.
No, I do from the great award-winning website, GhanaWeb.com, which actually I heard some numbers earlier on Twitter about 60,000. That's not true, but people were waiting 12 hours for Wizkid. Doors opened at 4, and the worst thing is that it wasn't like an announcement had reached through the management team or he was tweeted. Do you know how people know it was time to go home? Because the technical staff started disassembling the equipment on stage. So, like, a local like Kwesi Frimpong came and started, like, taking off all the mixers and the mics, and they were like, now it's time. So people excitedly had waited 12 hours.
Wow.
And it's like, yo, like, maybe at 9 o'clock someone could be like, oh, we're running late, or he might not come through. Like, I always think with those situations, like, you have to be people of your word, right? And just, like, he knew he wasn't coming at a certain time, isn't it? But the worst thing, so obviously, you know, Wizkid, and I believe this is going to be, according to GhanaWeb.com, this is going to be his debut live show in Ghana. And he's really respected in Accra, and him and Burna Boy have an affinity, and sometimes they say things that makes you think they're almost like pro-Ghana a lot more than you would think they should be. Wizkid's got the famous song, Sexy Girl from Ghana, all this stuff. And it's
slapper.
A big tune.
Big slaps.
And it's like, yo, like, why have you done that here? And then even worse, you could say, maybe you could say it's a one-off. But in Ivory Coast, in the capital,
Abidjan,
he did the same thing. And apparently there was a bit different because I haven't heard about what happened in Ghana. But apparently in Ivory Coast, him and his team were paid in full. And he was like, yep, I'm good. Even day before after what happened in the Accra, he doesn't want to make amends somehow. And I've seen the video. Apparently it was during that time he should have been on one of these shows where him and his crew were just living life on the PJs. But looking at it, I haven't got a care in the world. Now me, I'm just hoping that like they would have the same energy for a show at London's O2 or New York's like Madison Square Garden. I think sometimes you get to a level where you think you're almost like above your own people, but you want to appeal to the new crowd. You understand? Like, that was quite disheartening, and you know, you're like, yeah, thank you for introducing that in such a smooth way. And Kieran, as a man of many talents and who loves music and who also, I believe, secured tickets to a WizKid show. What are your thoughts on this in London, obviously? But what are your thoughts on this?
I think it's always a shame when artists don't come out and perform for their fans. But was there like a reason as to why they didn't? Is there like, because I just saw King Promise's apology on Twitter.
He said something about safety. Something about safety.
Yeah.
The safety wasn't promised or secured to hit the level it should have been. It's like, well, bruv, at 4 a.m.
Yeah, like you knew when it wasn't.
Yeah. You could have told me like 5 hours earlier.
Like, what was man doing? Just like basing off in Accra. Chilling.
Yeah, but like, and it was no issue about like about travel. Apparently him and his team were already in Ghana a couple of days before, fam, so it wasn't like they any flights or anything. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a real shame, man. Yeah, it's a real shame, especially when you have fans in a crowd waiting and anticipating for an artist to come on stage, and for 5 hours, like, at what time do you go, yo, do you know what, I'm going home? Like, how long would you, man, actually wait for an artist before they came on? Because for me, depending who it is, I don't know if I'm waiting 5 hours, bro. I don't know if I'm waiting 5 hours. I probably would have read the signs at, like, hour 2.5. I would have been looking around and been like, big man, I don't think he's coming out, you know. I would have stayed till 3, and then 3.5 hours, I'm gone. Like, 5 hours, I'm not staying around for them to tell me it's cancelled. That's terrible, man. That's awful.
But you know what, though, yeah? I do feel as though, you know, typical me, there's always a side to stories. I don't know, I'm tired. It's Monday. I don't think these guys would intentionally disrespect their fans. And I can't speculate as to why... What the reasons that we don't know are as to why they
didn't
show up.
Two sides to a story, right?
Yeah, two sides to stories. Exactly what I was trying to say. Fucking hell. I'm just like, all right, cool. Like, there must have been some stuff behind the scenes. Was it poor organization? I don't know about you guys, but I've been to many a poorly organized festival before.
Yeah.
Remember the one in Toronto?
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There was this one in Toronto, which was like advertised as some sort of dance hall situation.
Dance hall.
Who else was supposed to be there, Abby? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember. I think even...
Abby's in the building, guys.
What is his name? Go your pretty like.
Popcorn.
Oh, yeah. I think just a lot of good artists. But we went the first day, because the first day Burna Boy was going. But even the first day was just like a mess. The way the fences were set up. It was just a mess. And then we didn't trust to go on the second day. So we didn't go. And then we heard that they just... changed the whole location of the festival like a few hours beforehand to a whole nother place, and then eventually none of these artists even showed up. So it was just
fire festival things. You know what? Because I've even heard stories from this summer about like festivals in the Netherlands where the organization was a madness. So it's kind of like, I think on paper these things are sounding super easy to do, and so you might be an entrepreneur, you might want to say, do you know what, like, let me find out how much it costs to book a Wizkid or a King Promise or whoever it may be. I'm going to do the maths and see if I can recoup my money and then some. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, bruv, this bangs. This is a sick business case. Da, 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 da. But then the actual execution of bringing this thing to life is a completely different thing. And I think that's part of the reason as to why we're seeing instances like what happened this weekend, because, again, like, I'm not a festival organizer, but a lot of the people that are going into things, and we saw it firsthand with that documentary, the Fyre Festival documentary, where it's someone who has a dope idea, sees an opportunity, but can't necessarily bring that thing to life.
Yeah.
I think that's becoming more and more frequent now. And you know what? Like, the artists don't necessarily have a way of checking, or their teams don't necessarily have a way of checking the authenticity of the people behind these things, unless it's
established, verified,
like a Live Nation or something like that, you know? So, you know, they'll hear a bag and they'll get a contract in place, like, yeah, of course, like, turn up for an hour, get paid this much, cool. But they're not necessarily, well, to my knowledge, they're not necessarily going to have the background as to who this person is or who's actually organising it. And I think that's where fans are being affected.
Yeah, you're right. I think it probably lies in the hands of the organisers and the promoters of these, like, concerts way more than it does the artist. I think putting on a show is a hard thing. Like, not only do you have to ensure people's safety, you got to make sure that there's, like, the sound is good, the stage in which the artists are going to perform on art is stable. And I think what these promoters might do, I don't know, as you said, Jeff, I'm not a promoter, I'm not a festival owner yet. But they might spend a lot of money on these artists to attract people to come and then scrimp and save on, like, the necessities to make the actual concert run smoothly. I can't remember what concert it was in the UK, but it was summer last year and Kalani was performing. And
was it like Peterson King was talking about something like that.
I don't, like, and I think people had a very, very bad experience going to that concert, and that doesn't bode well for people that are trying to, like, put on these, like, events. Because if you can't provide the artist with the platform or the stage in order for them to give their best performances, then, number one, you're going to lose the trust of the artist. You're also going to put the artist in jeopardy as well, because, you know, like, the layperson isn't going to look at it and be like, oh, the concert was shit. You'll be like, oh, the artist wasn't doing their thing, or I couldn't hear them, or the sound was shit, or this and whatever. So I think it's like, it's a tough one, isn't it? Like, for people that organizers of events anyway. So I don't know what happened yesterday. I don't know, but hopefully the guys that did put it out or did put it on can move forward and provide some sort of better experiences for people, because I would hate to have paid money, gone to a show, and wait 5 hours for them to be told, oh, this is not happening. Like, are you going to refund everybody? I remember Rolling Loud had people's money in a vice grip for 2 years because of COVID. It was so funny. Like,
was it Rolling Loud or was it Afro Nation?
It might have been both, but I think it was Rolling Loud Portugal. And it was for the 2020 summer one. I bought tickets for that one. Obviously COVID happened. Rolled over again, and then, like, they offered like half the money back or like tickets to the next, I can't remember, but it will rub people like the wrong way, and they won't want to go and put their money in their pocket or put their hand in their pocket to give money to these festivals. So yeah, so it's a, I think you got to spend money on the organization of these things.
I think at the end of the day, it's basically like just it's like a trade-off, right? You want to make sure that the acts are more professional, and that the bookings, the people that are booking the festival are more, they don't want to cut corners on important things. And speaking of trade-offs, this allows me to break off to my next or our next subject. I'd be looking at me like, what's this random brother talking about? Well, America and Russia, not for the first time, struck a deal. So the famed WNBA player Brittany Griner, who's been in Russian prison for 9 months, and she got held at the customs over a vape pen, and has
context. Why was she in Russia? What was she doing?
She played basketball there. She has two teams, and I think her second team plays in Russia. If I'm not mistaken, she is finally home. Joe Biden has been campaigning for months, but it wasn't out of the goodness of Russia's heart. There was a deal. There was a prisoner exchange, which I've heard it before, but it left me for a while. So I always think of this stuff is a bit crazy. So she was exchanged because Russia let her go to the US, and the US let a merchant of war, apparently, called Victor Bout, who Nicolas Cage portrayed in a film in the early 2000s called Lord of War.
Yeah.
You haven't watched it. It's quite enjoyable. Yeah, yeah. Wow. This guy has a legacy. So there were some complaints because also there's also been a Marine captive that's been there since 2000 and I don't know, let me not say how long, but he's been there for some years, let's say. And they were upset that they weren't able to get him home in a package. And it's just funny, not funny, but it's quite interesting that Russia have someone that has had years of being like a war merchant and selling bombs and guns and packages of weapons to Afghanistan, Iran, all these, and also America. So a war merchant has been exchanged for a basketball player. Some people have had their takes on that from a commentary and a social perspective. And I kind of think it's kind of like a legacy thing, right? So like Joe Biden, whatever happens, is going to speak about one of these things, how he fought for an American's freedom, how he like stood up to Russia. When someone could be like, well, there was an international man of war or crime that you just had in your midst. And I don't know, it's quite interesting. Like,
it's mad because even the reason Brittany Griner was detained was she had CBD oil
and
was sentenced to 9 years
of
hard labor in a Russian prison.
Yeah.
She had to cut off her dreads.
In America. Yeah, yeah.
Because the prison was so cold.
Bruh. Like, do you know how mad that is?
Yeah.
So you compare that to the crimes of my man, who was in jail, I believe, was serving a 25-year sentence in the U.S., it's like Russia got the deal of the century.
For arms trafficking, money laundering, and conspiring to kill Americans. He spent 14 years prior to in a U.S. jail.
Goodness me.
Yeah, it sounds like Russia got the better end of that deal.
But then there's also been reports that America, for a long time, was speculating and they had no ID checks on this man. And it was like they assumed a man had been doing this stuff, but they had not, because he was so hard to like get a hold of, they had no, like, that. Maybe that's something from the other side, but apparently people saying, sorry. Other side that, like, oh yeah, like, America just gambled. Like, they were like, this could be a nobody. I'm not sure if that's the case, but it's quite interesting.
This is wild. Do you know what? I feel like, first of all, I'm very happy Brittany Griner's back in the States, because I can only imagine what it must feel like to land, touch down, wherever you touch down, which airport, I don't know. I'm going to assume Moscow, because that's a big city in Russia, capital even. Ready to go play some, shoot some hoops.
Yeah. Your job.
Only to be detained and then sentenced to 9 years in jail.
Yeah. Don't forget, as a mixed-race woman, blackface and lesbian, so like, there's all things that are going your way in a land where...
Bro, I'm definitely no expert on the world's toughest prisons, but I cannot imagine for one second that prison in Russia is any sort of safe haven. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Definitely ain't no cozy jail in Norfolk, fam, which is a city outside of the UK, where I can only assume it's comfortable.
You would hope so, wouldn't it? You would hope so, yeah. But what kind of PlayStation, though? 2 or 5?
PlayStation 4.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
PlayStation 4, yeah. Netflix things. So, first of all, I'm very happy she's home. The thing that was really interesting to me is I don't follow Kim Kardashian, just like disclaimer off the jump.
There were rumors that you were a big fan still, so thank you for clarifying.
I'm not going to lie, I came home the other day and Abby was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That's all I'm going to say.
So he put you under the bus, hasn't he?
That's what happens. So, to get back to it, Kim Kardashian reposted a tweet that said, why can't the US do the same with its own citizens now. Mm. Like, all the people that are sitting in jail for weed-related crimes, where weed is now legal in those states, why can't you free the man and geld them here now? So for me, it's kind of opened the floodgates a little bit, because it's like, it's a really great area.
Mm.
Because you freed this person, Brittany Griner, which, in my opinion, deserved to be freed, but off the back of their name. So now, what about all of these nameless people,
so to speak,
who are in jail now for crimes that they've committed, where like a misdemeanor crimes, bro, at the end of the day?
There's a whole generation of people stuck behind bars in America for, as you said, misdemeanor crimes that were made illegal during the 80s. Was it 80s? Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, Ronald Reagan.
So it's like, and a lot of those people who were sent to prison were black, like from black or even from minority groups. And you've got a whole generation of young boys and girls growing up without their fathers, their father figures. And the thing is about America, as we know, is that the prison system is a business. Do you know what I mean? Like, people get the prisons get paid a lot of money from the government to ensure that the prisons are full. And I think if they match their quota, they get X amount of money per year or per annum. And it's something that I don't think, yes, they should change, but I don't think they're going to change anytime soon, because it makes so much fucking money. It's like a $1 trillion business. And I know we're talking about human rights and what people like should deserve, but I just find that the policies and the government's rules in the state sometimes can be, it's not going to be for the people. It's a capitalist nation. They just want to like ensure that money is going back into the system.
I think that sometimes these things are a little bit too, not blockbuster, but a little bit ridiculous. So not only have the lives of these people been turned upside down because of like a political gain, like Rushman they won, American they won, right? Mm-hmm. But there was a passing, bro, like on tarmac, on the in and out, in like after, sorry, about to go in the different private jets. Victor Bout and Brittany Griner crossed paths and said hello. Like, do you have to? And it was filmed. Like, do you? Like, come on, it's not a film.
Yo.
Yeah. Like,
where was Nicholas Cage?
Exactly.
He was playing Brittany Griner.
And after, like, apparently Victor was like, yeah, you know, like, I wish you good luck. Like, thank you, Victor, but there should be no room for you lot to have a conversation and be like, oh, I'm a bit fucked up, innit? Like, so
no, bro.
A little bit.
Do you know what's mad? Yeah. Do you know what's mad when you think about it? Like, if I'm Brittany Griner, and I'm looking at the brother that they've released me for, I'm like, was my crime so heinous? Like,
like
it's like this war criminal.
This is the only person in Russia. Like, yeah, we can make a deal.
CBD oil, war crimes, bruv.
Bro.
Like, the levels are ridiculous.
In the conference seedings, war crimes. Like, man like, was it Victor?
Yeah.
Man like Victor is definitely number one.
Yeah.
Brittany Griner is, bro, she's tanking right now.
She's tanking.
Nowhere near the playoffs. Bro. Nowhere near the playoffs.
So, I just think it was just a bit extreme, but then it's also we live in a world of social commentary where everyone has an opinion. Oh my gosh, America, this is disgraceful. Yeah, but Brittany Griner is free. Like, there's something in that. You understand? Like, beat up. Like, you could have your political values or what have you, but a woman was overseas for CBD oil in a vape pen for 9 months and about to get 9 years. There should be a little triumph that she's able to come home and be with her family. And the rest of her life, and just before Christmas. Like, I think sometimes I'm learning that we can be so partisan and so tribal. It can be Republican, Democrat. It can be men versus women. It can be black versus white. You understand? Even a little point that they don't go there, but we can go there. Like, we were watching the football, and Harry Kane missed that second penalty, and England went out. And then a lot of messages were like, oh, Harry, you know, great. Thank you for all your service. We'll get them next time. And some people, black and white, were like, bruv, what happened to Rashford and Saka? It's like, I hear you, but I don't think people got a problem, innit? Well, maybe not all of them. But you understand, like, I think sometimes we have to let things lie. And this is that and that is this. So, you know what I mean? Like,
I agree, but then my only counter to that is that I think when you have people talking on the other side, is that they've felt a certain type of injustice and are still clearly hurt by that. So then when they see a different energy for somebody else who doesn't maybe look like them, talk like them, act like them, they're like, where's the same energy?
Yeah.
I think it's the whole where's the same energy thing.
Yeah, that's because it. Because
if you know, if you've been affected by something because of a characteristic that you have that I don't, and then I fuck up, but then no one gets onto me, it's like, that's not fair.
Yeah,
I think it's more of like a cry for equality, almost, if that's fair to say.
Yeah. I don't think the internet ever keeps the same energy, though.
Bro, it doesn't.
The internet never keeps the same energy, bro. Like, and I think it's just because of your experiences.
Media. You can say media,
yeah, media doesn't at all. I was looking at, and I know we spoke about football earlier, but I was looking at something on Twitter earlier on today, and there was the player ratings for the England team, and the Sun, the Sun had rated Saka like a 5 or something like that, when like he didn't have a bad game, bro. He really didn't have a bad game. In fact, he was probably like our most threatening player on that pitch. But then,
and he also won a penalty for England to equalize,
right? But in the same breath, there was a ratings done by L'Equipe, which is a French media outlet, who, like,
probably the most prestigious
that cover football, right? And they rated Saka a 7. And it's like, where's your agenda? You can see the agenda, innit? It's like,
I hear that, but then could that just be the mindset of like two different journalists? Because me and you watch the same game and have different opinions about the performance of Jude Bellingham or Griezmann, right?
True, very true. However, when the Sun is renowned for...
It has its history,
yeah. You're gonna look at it and be like, well, I know what you... like. I know you're trying to do something here. And it sounds and feels a little bit facetious, but I don't know if that's the right word, actually. But it sounds like it's wrong.
So are we, what are our thoughts about the media in this particular conversation?
In this occasion, I think, I don't know. Like, I basically think like the media know what like gets the people going, and they know in terms of the image or the headline. To be fair, the word was used for Harry Kane was a bit tame. There was a lot of, oh, Harry, next time. But I think a lot of times they can be a lot or quicker to find the villain in someone that missed a penalty. Oh, Bukayo Saka, these young, inexperienced lads. Or maybe what they'll do is that, like, on the Monday, they'll talk about them boys missing a penalty. But then next week later... Jadon Sancho blinged out mansion or brand new Bentley. He's like, yeah, he earned a lot of money. He's able to legally buy a Bentley. What's the crime? Like, he still pays taxes and hasn't got speeding fines. Do you understand? So, but in this instance, I wouldn't say they've overstepped the mark. But a lot of times, I feel like they kind of want to because it sells, it gets them viral. Like, so I also think the media is
man. Like, now just come through.
Huh?
Man, like, now just come true.
Oh, man, like, now, what's he saying?
He says, well, go on.
I also feel like the media is woefully underrepresented in terms of diverse. So a lot of times you only hear one train of thought, which can lead to, like, biased or headlines that are like, oh, did anyone really think this through? But yeah.
Yeah, I feel like what we're starting to see more, though, is... like this insidious stuff.
Yeah.
So there was this whole conversation around England winning their first game 6-2. I said we wasn't going to talk about the World Cup, but we're back. No, it's more about the media, to be honest. England won their first game 6-2.
And five of the six goal scorers were black, right?
Yes, and the one non-black player to score, Jack Grealish, was front and centre of every...
Yeah.
Most major outlets.
Yeah.
And I think that was really interesting because there was a lot of backlash from the internet, again, around that, calling it out.
And then even more so when they drew against USA, like a boring game, they weren't able to break them down. Then they used Bukayo Saka.
Exactly.
So England could have won.
Subconscious
drip
feeding of an idea or of an identity or of what success looks like or doesn't look
like. Yeah.
And I think that's those are the games we're starting to see a little bit more now. And I think, you know, we've had a number of conversations around media and impact on the masses. But I do think that's where, you know, you see, let's stick with Bukayo Saka. We see so many moments of him like owning his own narrative, right? Like whether it's the spelling challenge on TikTok where he's messing around with his mates, or that clip of him like, so wholesomely asking Beckham.
The day Beckham was like a training session and he said, "Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but could I get a picture, please?"
So Beckham was talking to Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
And Bukayo Saka comes up to him and is like, "Sorry, Beck, sorry to interrupt. Do you mind if I get a picture?" And it's like, "Yeah, of course. Let's do this." So I think stuff like that really warms people's hearts and like makes those who are kind of like aware know that, you know, this is our guy, so to speak. And I think the media's, what we're starting to see more is like a lot of these desperate attempts for, as you said, they know what gets the people going, like to sell newspapers or to get clicks. But I don't know how much longer we'll see that lasting, to be honest. Like the more these athletes, entities, artists, whoever it may be, like continue to own their narrative, I'm not too sure. I think people will start to side more with the talent than the media. Yeah. That's my personal opinion.
No, I agree. I agree with that. I think like the media, as you say, have a very insidious way of painting a picture that isn't necessarily true. And what I was thinking whilst you were talking just now, and I was just like, you know what, yeah? England is predominantly white. So the fact that the Sun puts Jack Grealish or Harry Kane on the front page of their papers, to me, because I know what the media is, I'm like, cool, like, it is whatever. However, I do know the games that they're playing, which makes it very difficult as a person of colour, a black person, a black man, to like sit and be like, yeah, this country's for me. When there's certain pockets of it that just do not reflect our reality as well. Do you know what I mean?
I know we're engaging in conversation. I have a question. And I don't mean to put you guys on the spot with this question, but I'm just curious to hear your first answer.
Wow.
Yeah? You ready? You going to entertain me with this?
I'm going to entertain you.
Oh, sure.
I don't know if I'm going to answer it, though.
Okay.
Now, go on.
Okay. Very simple question.
Yep.
Do you guys love the UK? Do you love England?
Do I love England?
Well,
off the top of my head, yes.
Why?
Because it's the place I'm from in terms of I was raised here, I was born here, I have family here. It shaped my life, it shaped my experiences, it shaped my outlook on the world. However, I would say with a pinch of salt that I grew to also feel a type of animosity to it because of the way in which the country that I'm from treats the people that helped make it to what it is. So yeah, I do love this place. Of course I do. Like, my friends, my family, my home is here. However, it can also feel like you're in a space where you don't, where you're not welcome because of some ideologies and how certain people think about you based off the color of your skin.
Very succinctly put, my friend.
Yeah, it's a weird one. When you said it, I was like, I don't know.
I would say
ultimately, I love it because it's my home, my ultimate form of home. Like, I love GH, but I never feel the same as when I go back to Deptford or what have you, my family. A lot of people that I love are from there, have great experiences there. But, yeah, like, it's weird because I never feel like... It's weird because, like Kieran said, identity-wise, whatever I do is never, ever going to be good enough, innit?
Mm.
I'm never going to be English enough because I'm not white enough. Like, my... people always ask me where I'm from, trying to get all these things there. I speak well, I act well, but it's always like surprise. Like, oh, come on, you speak really well. So, what do you think? Like,
yeah, of course.
Yeah. I grew up. Like, I've heard things and I'm now using them. Like I can read books or what have you. Like I always think sometimes they try to make the most out of smaller things, which means you are only actually like reducing me in size, isn't it? Mm. In stature. Wow, you do this really well. So, I've done the same thing. I don't know. So it's weird you say that because every time people were like, "Oh yeah, Kwame, like when are you playing?" And they would assume England. I'm like, "No, Ghana are playing tomorrow." Like it felt weird. And then when they played against like, Senegal, and there was no, like, you know when your team are playing and they almost concede, your heart will kind of drop. I never had that. I had that with Ghana. But it was only when England played France. I was like, yeah, I might as well support them, innit? It's a weird feeling because I'm from there, but to a lot of people, I don't belong there. And I think in my heart of hearts, I know that I don't. You understand?
Oh, interesting, yeah.
What about you, Yaf? It's
painful.
Yeah, no, of course I do, man. Similar points as you, Kieran. Like, it's home, innit, ultimately. It's home, and specifically when we talk about London, like London, there is no place in the world like London. I will challenge anybody to find a place that is the melting pot that is London City. You know, so
yeah.
Of course I do, and I, you know, there's nowhere is really perfect. The thing that annoys me the most about the UK is that there is so much potential for continuity in the country, but there's just like all of the divides are really stupid, if that makes sense. Like it's really silly divides. It's like, bro, you know, if I'm in a discussion with someone who has like extreme views on immigration, it's like, bro, let's look at the history of immigration in the UK and let's see what the benefits of immigration have been, first of all, right? Someone might say go back home. It's like, all right, cool. If we want to break down that sentence of you saying go back home to a person of color, let's really look into that. So I think a lot of these backward ideas of, you know, race, immigration, these types of things, with a little bit of education, could bring a lot of people together.
Yeah.
And I think it shouldn't just be every 2 years when England play in a major
tournament.
We bring people together and then we break away as soon as the results don't go our way. I think that's just so typically British.
We come
together when everything's doing really well, and as soon as shit hits the fan, you're not British, you're not this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, bruv, like we're nowhere near as big as America, so it could in theory be very easy to like come together. And you know, this isn't, I'm not like inciting communism here. I don't want everyone to have the same belief system, but I do think that there is so much potential for a country like the UK to just come together in moments, and it's a shame when we don't.
Mm.
So I love the UK, of course, but it can equally frustrate me. And you know, you hear about stories of people going to Buckingham Palace and then being asked where you're from by 80-year-old women who obviously see black people in a very different light.
Yeah.
That's another story. And maybe another conversation that we'll have. But no, I do. And the reason I asked that was just to kind of get you guys' initial thoughts, because I think if we asked a lot of black British people that you'd have really interesting answers. And really interesting reasons as to why.
Yeah.
But it is a question that makes you think, because as you guys are speaking and I thought to ask it, I was like, do I? You know, like you actually ask it, do you know what I mean?
And yeah.
I think that could be the same for a lot of the diaspora living in countries across Europe or across places where they're not necessarily the majority. So interesting conversations. I know we've covered a lot of different stuff today. We spoke about DABs. We spoke about bloodhounds.
Yeah.
Gosh.
All the essentials. All
yeah,
the essentials.
Yeah, of life. Yeah, exactly.
To
exactly.
a conversation and, exactly. You know. Did the essentials go over your head or did you get it?
Oh no, because I was thinking about another acronym.
Because you didn't smirk at me.
No, you know why? Because I was thinking about Kieran was apparently MIA in the other, and then after when he heard my thing, he probably wanted to give me a rest in peace one, an RIP thing, innit? So yeah, much love, and I can't say BRB. So yeah, so LOL, we're gonna end it.
Yeah, man, you've been listening
Kieran,
to the sound.
You've been listening to
the Out of Home podcast with your boys, Kieran, yeah, Stephen, and Kwame. Shout out to the boy who is not here, but he'll be back next week, hopefully. Yo, later.
Peace.
You London boys are crazy.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.